True Value and carbon monoxide detectors up next.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Usually you start out talking, Paul.
Well, you can start out this episode because I want you to tell our audience, first of all, the show's going to be about some new codes and laws that are being passed regarding carbon monoxide detectors, but I want you to tell our audience a little bit about what we're going to be doing with True Value over the next few months.
Sure. Between now and the end of the year, we're going to be working with True Value like we did last year, and we're going to do a number of posts between now and December. But we're also going to do some more stuff beyond what we did last year. We're going to be participating on Facebook a lot more, so make sure you follow the Handy Guys page at Facebook.com/the Handy Guys.
All right.
And there's a link on our website, handyguyspodcast.com, for that. And we're going to do some tutorials, and we're probably also going to have another contest this year. So all things to look forward to. So make sure you subscribe.
But basically, it's still our same show, and we'll just with True Value, and they'll be helping us out
with some of the content and the giveaways and things like that.
So. All right, cool. And also, we want to talk about carbon monoxide because, you know, Brian, just, I don't know, about a month ago, I got a newsletter from our local township, and they mentioned in it that they have passed a new addition to the building code regarding carbon monoxide detectors. Did you have them in your home when you bought your home, what, 5 years ago?
I did not.
Right. So, and I didn't have it in mine.
It was a brand new home.
Right. It was brand new. I didn't have them in mine. But I know a lot of people are on their own purchasing them. But I determined that it's actually going to become code so that if you do any work in your house, for instance, that requires a permit, they are going to require, like they did in the old days, they required smoke alarms. They are going to require a carbon monoxide detector, and we can talk about that because I know I mentioned it to you a week or so ago, and it just created all kinds of questions that we both had. So hopefully I'll have some answers to your questions regarding carbon monoxide detectors.
Good, good. I got lots of questions.
All right. So if you want to contact us regarding the content of our show, you want to ask us a question, email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com. You can also go to our website, click on the contact tab.
That's right.
At the top and fill out the little form that we have for you, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can via email, or maybe we'll answer your question in one of our shows. So up next, carbon monoxide detectors.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the Handy Guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
Okay, Brian, so let's talk a little bit. We all know that smoke detectors are required in every home and that you, generally speaking, are required to have them outside sleeping areas and in every bedroom and one per every floor, right?
Generally speaking, yeah. Your local codes may vary a little bit.
And did you know that I figured this out. I went into True Value today and determined that or learned that there actually are some smoke detectors that are more sensitive than others. There are there's a model of smoke detectors that is for your bedroom that's supposed to be more sensitive and give you more time to get out.
I think I have one of those on my first floor near the kitchen,
right?
Because it's always going off,
and that's where you don't want to put it. They're for bedroom areas, and then that would be you would use a different kind outside the kitchen. So that just something I caught my eye. But I really want to talk about carbon monoxide detectors, and there are some overlapping issues here. But let's first just talk about carbon monoxide.
Yeah, why is that so such an important issue?
Well, it can cause death if you get it in your house.
as can smoke
The difference with carbon monoxide is it a gas that doesn't have any odor, no color, or smell. And you actually need special detection equipment to even find the source, because it's not like fire where you can see it or smell it and follow it that way.
And it's not like a gas leak either, because gas, even though, you know, natural gas is odorless, but they put in a smell so that you know you have a leak.
Yeah, and what's scary with the firemen is that you know, could be in a house full of carbon monoxide unless they, you know, I'm sure they have detectors now, but if they don't have detectors, there's no reason for them to know that they're in danger. So they need to make sure they have detectors themselves. So obviously homeowners where you could potentially have problems. And you know, in I think it was in Massachusetts, they've passed a law because what had happened, there was an unfortunate incident a number of years ago where the exhaust, I guess it was the chimney, was clogged from snow during the winter. And the whatever they were using to heat the house backed up and caused the house to fill up with the exhaust and the carbon monoxide, and a girl died. So they actually introduced a new law as a result of that. Of that incident. So in Massachusetts and other states have come along to introduce their own legislation, and it's being, I think, added to the Uniform Building Code to have carbon monoxide detectors in every
home. So where does carbon monoxide, we're talking carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide.
That's right.
Carbon monoxide, where does that come from?
Well, it comes as a result of burning fossil fuels, right?
Okay. Well, I'm asking you the question. Yeah.
I'm not in that. What am I, a chemist here? So it comes as a result. If you have, you could potentially have dangers from carbon monoxide if you have a gas central heating system or an oil heating system. Obviously, coal, wood,
fireplace, any of those kind of things.
So,
if you don't have anything in your house that burns fossil fuels? Let's say you have electric heat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have electric range. You don't have anything that burns fossil fuels. Are you still going to be required to put one of these carbon monoxide detectors in?
My guess is yes, but I don't know. I don't know that they're going to make exceptions for it.
I guess, yeah.
Just because why?
I mean, burning a candle is not going to do it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Good question, huh?
I think that
you said I could ask you any questions.
Right,
my
guess
all
is,
ready.
Yeah, right. My guess is they're going to require it for all, because the problem is, what if that someone decides, hey, I'll put in a space heater and propane or something like
right,
that,
or
and
a kerosene heater, or they put a fireplace in, or they do, you know, whatever.
So they're going to require it for everyone. And the fact is, at least from what I can tell now, is what they're requiring. And again, this is going to vary by municipality, by your local district. But generally speaking, it looks like they are requiring it outside the sleeping areas, just in one location. Oh, it actually looks like, at least in Massachusetts, they're going to require the carbon monoxide detectors on every level of the home and within 10 feet of each sleeping area and in habitable portions of basements and attics. So it's similar. Within 10 feet, I guess, so a lot of houses that you could just get one in the hallway, but then you're going to need one for each floor. That's just for Massachusetts, so that's going to vary. I think around here, I thought I had read it was just going to be outside the sleeping areas, but it's definitely going to be, you know, you're going to need to check your local regulations, but it's coming. You know how these things go.
Once one
state does it, they just tend to percolate throughout the rest, and they get into these universal building codes. So that's it. We can't tell you where to put it. You're going to have to check with your local. You know, you could call your fire marshal or the fire department. I'm sure they will give you some advice.
Sure, right. And if you don't have local codes that cover this kind of thing and you're concerned about it, you can just go to your hardware store, True Value,
and
look at the packaging, and it's going to give you recommendations on the packaging where to put that carbon monoxide detector.
Okay, so you have some questions, though, and more details about these carbon monoxide detectors, I know.
Well, yeah, I have a carbon monoxide detector that plugs into a wall outlet, and I put that down in the basement because I installed a gas fireplace down there, and I've got a gas furnace down there and a gas hot water heater. I figured that'd be a good place to put it. And so I stuck that thing down there, plugged it in, and you know, it just sits there and it's got a little light on it and whatever. But if I'm going to be required, like, to sell my house down the road, mm-hmm. to put these outside the bedroom or in the bedrooms or one on each floor, would I be able to take down a smoke detector that I have and replace it with a carbon monoxide / or dual purpose smoke detector, carbon monoxide detector, that's all interconnected?
You can. So the question is, can you just...
Did that make sense?
Yeah. Can you swap them out? It looks like you can from looking at some of the products. Let's just put it this way. They do make a plug-in type that would go on your ceiling. Now, the question would be, well, do they have to be set at a particular level? in the house?
Yeah, well, that was the other question I had.
And the answer is no, I've not seen anything that says how high they must be, because carbon monoxide is not lighter than air. It's not heavier than air. It's about the same. And as air convects, there's really no one place you can put it to guarantee the quickest discovering of the carbon monoxide.
I had anecdotally heard that, you know, carbon monoxide is lighter than air. You put it down near the floor.
Right.
That's what I had thought, but
I thought the same thing. But
I see these mounted on the ceilings, and so that doesn't make sense.
I think when it's mixed in with the heat, too, I don't think, from what I've seen, that it's not, that's not necessarily the case. So I think they're going to allow you to put it up there where you put your smokes. Here's the caveat, though.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if it's going to fit and, you know, work with every system that people have. But the caveat is it must notify you differently on whether it's smoke detection or carbon monoxide detection.
And why is that? Because they're both telling you to get out of the house, right?
My guess is if it's going off, maybe for the firemen or for the people in the house, so they know. I know. Either way, you know to run. But they've specified...
Well, I guess carbon monoxide is not going to kill you as quickly as, like, smoke inhalation, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could also have a oxygen mask on, be looking for the source. If you have that going off, you know that's the problem, then the fireman could go in and try to work on it.
Right, because I would think the first thing I would do if I had a CO detector going off is I'd open some windows, I'd shut off the gas to the house, and I'd begin investigating the source of the problem.
Yeah, so... it has to tell you. In fact, the model I saw, made by Kidd, I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Is it Kidd or Kitty?
I don't know. Kidde. It actually speaks, and it sounds to you like that's where they're going with these things. If it's one, it'll say, you know, it's carbon monoxide, danger, danger, get out of the house.
Is that what it says?
I don't know what it says.
Like
it talks to you.
Okay.
So, but you need to, it needs to differentiate. You can't, it sounds like that just different types of beeps is not going to do. It actually has to have one of these talking things that actually informs you what's going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you need to get that if you're going to replace one of your current systems. Obviously, you need to make sure it works so that if you're going to put it in line with the others, that when it goes off, the other ones go off. That's the problem.
So you're going to need to replace
them. If you're going to do them all online, that's not really going to work. So, you know, you can hardwire it, but it's not necessarily just going to be a swap out with what you have.
Right.
You'd have to look at the specs to see if it's going to at least inform the others that when there's smoke, you know, they're still going to work. When one goes off, they all go off. And that I'm not sure of. It probably depends on the brand.
Right. So I think that, I've got them in each bedroom. I've got smoke detectors in each bedroom, in the hallway, outside the bedrooms. On the first floor, I think I have one that's between the eat-in kitchen and the family room.
Right.
And then I have one in the basement.
But Brian, there's more caveats.
Or maybe two in the basement.
There's more caveats that I think will cause more people to keep that system separate. And I want to talk about that after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Okay, Brian, there's actually other issues here.
Really?
Okay. Because from what I've seen is that the carbon monoxide detectors do not last as long.
They don't last?
No. Most of them are only warranted for 5 to 7 years, and they are expected to have some sort of sensor to inform you when the thing has expired.
Is this a planned obsolescence, or is this just capability of the detector?
I think there has something to do with the capability, but let me... so it looks like they just the way they're designed, they have sensors that are only last so long, 5 to 7 years or something like that.
Right. I've heard that smoke detectors have a shelf life as well beyond, you know, just the battery, but that was... I don't remember exactly what that was, but it might have been 10 or 15 years or something.
A lot of times...
Don't hold me to that number, but it was...
The smokes are about 10. It is longer. And so that's part of the problem, that you may have to be replacing these things sooner than you would just the smoke. But there's some other weird things, Brian. You know, it makes sense in my mind, and, you know, they require in the building code that you have hardwired all of your smoke detectors, right?
Right.
Why is that?
So that if... you know, the biggest problem with smoke detectors is the battery dies.
Okay.
Right? And so you want to have AC electricity to it in case that battery's dead.
Right. So, okay. So you have AC, but then the battery still wears out. So they you still have the battery issue, right?
Right. And it chirps at you when the battery's done. So then you pull the thing down and you set it aside because you're going to put a battery in, because it always chirps in the middle of the night because it's a little cooler at night or something. I don't know why it is, but it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you pull the thing down, then you never get around to it. And now you got smoke detectors.
I always felt like, you know, why are they requiring them to be hardwired when you still have to replace the battery every year or so?
And they're interconnected, right?
Yeah,
the hard wiring allows for that.
That's the big advantage for the hard wiring. But yeah, so you have power most of the time, but you still got to replace those batteries because the chirping would drive you crazy, and you have to replace them.
Yeah,
so,
I've got a few that are, you know, not attached anymore because of that chirping, and I got to get some batteries, and I keep putting it off and keep forgetting to get them.
So. The carbon monoxide detectors have the same issue. So, you know, you can get – there's three different ways you can do it. You can just get the kind that plug into an outlet that you already have.
That's what I have.
You can hardwire it, and a lot of them, when you get the dedicated kind, they're usually shaped differently. So you know, it's usually an oval kind of shape or rectangular, not round. So almost all the products I've seen, when they're dedicated carbon monoxide, they're a different shape. You know just by looking at them what it is. And so you can get it. You can put in your own outlet, and or you can just, you know, you can hardwire it sort of like you do the smokes. But you still have the battery issue. And what I've seen in the code is they're not requiring it to be hardwired. So the question is, what advantage is there to plugging it in versus just getting a battery one? I'm seeing it, when I went to the store, they look like about the same price. The batteries, you know, they still – maybe the batteries will last a little longer. I don't know. It's a 9-volt for the dedicated battery and usually – excuse me, a 9-volt for when it's the battery backup.
Right,
it's hardwired, and I think the others have three, like, double A's or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, the one I have that plugs into the wall outlet, I think is a 9-volt, and it just plugs right in. The problem with that is, you know, you're going to run a vacuum, or you need to – you're moving some lamps around, you unplug it. Now you don't have that outlet. You got to find another outlet for it, you know, and it gets
– So perhaps you just extend the outlet, Fisher wire, put an outlet up above it, 5 foot or something like that, that's essentially dedicated to the plug-in or hardwired.
I don't want to see it in the middle of the wall, Paul.
Yeah, you put
I'd
it up,
rather
put
it up
high.
Up on the ceiling or down behind the couch, you know, is where I'd
I wonder if you could run it in line, use the same power as your smoke alarms, but run it separately and not in a series. So you have the power from the same power from the smokes. I don't know why you couldn't do that, because they use an extra wire to communicate among themselves.
Right.
But you don't use that. You just use the power and the neutral and the ground and run it on your ceiling.
Right. Like just tap off of that circuit where the smoke detectors are, put another box in on the ceiling and mount this thing to that.
Yeah. I don't know why you couldn't do that. But,
sure.
But again, check with your local jurisdiction. So, there you have it. There's your. They cost about $25 a piece, roughly, depending on the model and the make.
Am I okay with my plug-in one that I've got now? Okay.
Well, except that you don't have it in the right location. Didn't you say it was downstairs?
It's down in the basement. It's near all my carbon monoxide generating appliances.
No, because the problem is that, like in the case of this situation with the girl in Massachusetts, is that I think it blew the carbon monoxide out through the heating ducts in the vents. Into the upstairs sleeping areas.
Really?
And so that was specifically what caused the problem. That's why they're really concerned about making sure that they are in sleeping areas, because that's where you're trying to heat in the winter.
Right.
And that was the danger there. So especially with a forced air system, you're going to want to get it, you know, that's
near
where
you're sleeping.
Maybe in both places, but certainly where you're sleeping.
Okay.
So
makes sense.
Any other questions you have about carbon monoxide detectors?
No, I got another new code thing that I think we've mentioned before. I don't know. We're not going to get into it on this show, but maybe we'll cover it in another show. And that is somewhat related, and that is sprinkler systems. Have you heard about this one, Paul?
I think we mentioned it. They're going to start requiring that in some places.
So
the building
maybe we're going to have to look at that in a future show.
Oh, you can't tie that into the electrical system.
No, you can't.
That's a little more difficult.
You know, if you're adding on a room or doing a major remodel, it's another thing that they may be requiring you to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point we're going to have to be required to sleep in asbestos suits or something.
No, not asbestos.
That's true. Right, that would be bad.
Right, because then they got to,
as long as you're not breathing,
has
it,
to take you out.
Right? And some sort of sleeping pods that will survive, you know, right, a bomb and fire and carbon monoxide.
Maybe we all just build 1950s era bomb shelters, right?
No, you still have carbon monoxide poisons down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they do have one carbon monoxide detector, I noticed, that also detects other harmful gases.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what other kind of harmful gases?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
And you're not ready for the answer.
And I can't remember the answer because I was like, what is it? Is it, you know, like natural gas or... So yeah, so the Kitty makes an alarm. It's a plug-in. It's an AC powered. It's a plug-in CO and explosive gas detection unit. So
right, the one you found on Google. That's the one I have.
Right,
I should have brought it over to show you.
So it has a gas sensor, which is metal oxide sensor designed to detect natural gas, methane or propane.
Okay.
Okay, so that makes sense. Although you typically would smell that because they add smell to it.
They do.
And if you can't smell,
I don't know about methane because that comes from
well, natural gas.
Yeah,
is methane. Yeah, not talking about the methane you produce, Brian.
No, but thinking methane from you know, natural sources or something.
Right, I suppose if you had some seeping into your house or something like that. But this would detect both kinds. Now, again, normally you would detect it. I suppose if you had a really bad cold, maybe you wouldn't notice the rotten egg smell from.
Right, I guess so.
Anyway, so you can also look for one of those at your local True Value. And there you have it. So we haven't really talked that much about carbon monoxide. And it's something not only don't you smell, but we don't really know a whole lot about, except for these units that we now need to put in our homes, or we're going to have to be required here shortly.
Right. So, you know, I think the easy way to do it is just get one of those plug-in ones if you're concerned about it, and plug it in the hallway outside the bedrooms, and away you go.
I have the same problem, though, you have, Brian. I have one outlet in the hallway, and now I have that. And in the other one, I wanted to have a nightlight. You know,
but
every time you vacuum, you got to pull one out, and it's kind of a pain. Here's another funny thing, though, with my carbon monoxide detector, Brian. As a result of not wanting to put it in my hallway, I ended up putting it in the master bath. In our master bedroom.
Okay.
So I put it along one wall. Well, then later on, when my parents were moving, they gave us a nice old antique dresser, which I put kind of in front of the carbon monoxide. I don't know if that's a good idea, but I did it anyway. Well, several months later, we started getting the chirps.
Oh, no. So the battery was dying, and the battery backup.
Yeah. The problem was, because of my poor hearing, I couldn't tell where it was coming from.
Right.
And my wife told me, okay, it's that smoke alarm. So I took it apart, replaced the battery, or took it off. I found that the chirping was still happening. Took another one out of another bedroom. Took another one out off another bedroom. And we have high ceilings. I needed a ladder for each of these. It took me an hour, and I still had the dumb thing chirping, and I was about ready to throw them all away. I can't stand the chirping.
You couldn't ask one of your kids to find the chirping noise? Let them
For some reason, I don't think they were around. Finally, I got my wife upstairs again and said, I need you to tell me, because I can only hear on one side. I can't tell where
sound. So you don't have stereo. You don't have any of that, you know, bat geolocation.
No, I can't locate sound unless I have some sense of the acoustics of the room, and I can do other ways, have other methods using my brain functions to figure out where the sound's coming from. But in those cases, those chirps, I have no really acoustic way. The way they resonate, there's just...
You can't tell where they're coming
from. They all sound the same. It could be in three downstairs or upstairs. I can't tell. Other than trying to walk around and see if it gets a little louder. Well, anyway, I couldn't find it. I was at wit's end, and I finally got my wife upstairs again, and finally she said, it's in this room. I'm sure of it. And at that point, I just took that smoke out of that room, disconnected it, and then it occurred to me.
Right, there it is.
It was behind the dresser.
You had to move that heavy dresser.
That was the easy part. I was just so mad that I couldn't find the dumb thing. I was about ready to throw it down the steps. Anyway, well, that's all we got for this episode of the Handy Guys Podcast. Get your CO detectors. Check them out. Your local True Value, if you have one. We'll have a whole line of them, and they'll be happy to help you out.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.